Are you a content creator looking for a space to create and elevate your brand? Well, look no further. The Core Queen Podcast Studios is now open. Core Queen Podcast Studios offers spaces for content creators to record or to live stream their podcast. Whether you're an aspiring creator or you're a seasoned vet, the Core Queen Podcast Studios is here for all your content creator needs. Visit CoreQueenPodcastStudio.com for more info. That's CoreQueenPodcastStudio.com today.
Hey, how y'all doing? It's your girl, Didi Leggett, a.k.a. The Core Queen, and we are back with another episode of The Core Queen Chat. Y'all, we got some stuff to talk about, and I have an amazing panel with me today. Y'all, welcome my panel to the show. How y'all doing?
Good. Doing great.
Good.
Was that, you know, like, raise the roof?
Yeah, exactly. Right. You're talking about the past.
Look, y'all, I have some amazing guests on the show today. If you don't know, Life with the Corey is here.
Whoa, whoa. Hey,
what up, what up? And we got my boy Ice Cold Eric on the show. He's back. Y'all know Eric. He's been here a lot of times. But in case y'all don't know who they are, I'm going to read their bio and let y'all know who they are. I'm going to start with Eric DeWalt. He is a husband, a father, a champion. Super Bowl champion? No, I'm joking.
Yes. Hey, two times.
A servant leader, a mentor, brand ambassador, tribal chief, model, the LeVar Ball of soccer.
That's right.
The answer to all your custom website and app needs, you can reach him on Instagram at Ice Cold Eric. Welcome back, Eric.
Thank you.
Look, you done updated that bio. Okay, then. That'll come through.
No, I know your female viewers are going up like 48%. So.
Oh, my goodness.
I am done.
Here we go.
You are too much.
We just started.
Oh, Lord, it's going to be a long night.
Hit that thumbs up button, everybody.
Yes, please do. And now we have husband and wife duo, Darius and Cicely. That's how you say your name, right? Yeah. I don't want to mess it up.
You
Corey, co-host the Life with the Corey's podcast, a podcast about life and making the most of things. Each season features 7 bi-weekly episodes with a new episode on Thursday at 7 p.m. Darius is an artist and illustrator from Suitland, Maryland. Where the hell is that?
He read hard too.
I see. He's like, you know where it's at? Outside of Life with the Corys, you might find him thrifting at a local pro wrestling show, sneaker shopping, or enjoying a bowl of good ramen. I'm like, okay, ramen, come through. You find out you have Asian.
It might be.
Or you're still in college. Like,
what? Right. Like, what do we? Cicely is a writer and editor from Atlanta, Georgia. Okay, ATL, shawty.
Yeah.
Outside of Life with the Corys, you might find her cooking, pretending to garden, or planning a trip to see an interesting corner of the world.
Listen.
Welcome y'all to the show. I'm so happy to have y'all here.
I heard so much
about the Corys, so I'm excited to have y'all.
Oh, man. I hope all good stuff. Like,
of course, of course. Other than that Maryland thing.
We'll get there.
So today we're going to have a lot of conversations about marriage because y'all all are married. Mm-hmm. And first thing I want to lay the groundwork on what's the dynamic of your family right now, marriage, how's y'all life looking? What's the demographic? What's going on? I
got a wife.
Okay.
I've been married 20 something years.
20 something?
Sure.
You don't know how many exactly?
2001. Almost 24 years. Okay.
Oh my God.
It's in the blend. I get it.
That's right. You know, okay. Runs together for a while. Got a daughter in college, you know, at Hampton.
Oh, University. Nice.
Right. HU.
Come on.
And soccer star, that's 11, you know.
Okay.
And a child about to go to high school later this year. So.
Look, yeah. All right. Representing the Black family, your wife Black, right?
Yes. Her name is like 18 letters. Okay.
So, oh my God.
Had to make the font small on her driver's license. So yeah, she's blackety black.
Okay? Right. I know that's right.
Well known.
What about the Corys? What's y'all marriage life like? How's like the dynamic for you guys?
It's the dynamic. What, 9 years in? Will be nine.
Nine years in December. Yeah.
Dated what, on and off 2 years before that. It's interesting. We have two kids under the age of five. So whatever you imagine that looks like, that's what it is.
Yeah.
Two beautiful boys, but they keep us active. Busy. Keeping the same, you know, depending on what day it is, but all in all, you know, it keeps us young. They keep us young. So
okay.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, that's it.
Yeah, that's it.
That's it.
That's the gist of our life right about now.
Yeah.
Okay. So my first question for you guys is, does a man need to be financially stable before he dates seriously?
I'm gonna say no. I think he needs to be financially independent. That's good. But financially stable, like, you know, where you at 22 and where you at 30 should be two totally different places financially. So, I think you just need to be financially independent, able to pay your bills and pay for a meal every now and then, take somebody out. But I wouldn't say stable.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I wouldn't. He was certainly financially independent. Stable?
No.
Not so much. No. When we first met, you know, it was wishing, hoping, dreaming. I saw the potential, you know, but he wasn't out here just like wasting time. So I think that helps.
I think there definitely should be some type of plan in place as far as where your money is going and where it goes. I think, you know, women like to know that there'd be some structure at some point. Mm-hmm. And if he shows those signs of structure within his own house, she'll be like, all right. I can see you spending that for me. So I think if there is a plan, if he looks like he knows what he's doing with his money, I think that there's capacity he can do it for him and her.
Yeah.
Okay. So at what age do they need to be stable?
That's tricky because I've seen people that got married. I have friends that got married at 21, 22 and are happily married. Mm-hmm. I got some friends that have just gotten married at 41, 42 and he's been happy ever since. I mean, it's fairly new. So, I mean, I don't have that recipe or answer.
Yeah, I don't know because I don't know if maturity is associated with a number for every person. But I would say for sure, if you like, I think life really starts getting real around like your 30s. Mm-hmm. Like if you don't have stuff in order by then, because by the time you reach your 40s, that's when you like really thrive. And I think you figured out your career, figured out, you know, you on the right path. But if you're in your 20s, like early 20s, I mean, you know, there's grace for you to figure that out, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. And I ask this question because a lot of men that I've encountered or interviewed, they shy away from dating seriously. And this could just be an excuse. I don't know. But they shy away from dating seriously because they're like, I got to get my money right. I got to get my career right. Like they're so focused on that they don't even think about dating seriously, even though they're still dating, but just not serious.
Yeah.
I can see there is validity to that because there was a time where finances was the number one reason for divorces. So I know that people say, well, I love them. I love him. I love her. And what did they say? Your elders always said, love, don't pay the bills. Mm-hmm. So being on the other side of that, being like, all right, if he's like, I want to build a home for the person that I bring into it, there's really no room to really argue that. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's almost commendable. So I get it.
And I guess if they're showing signs, like you said, a plan, and they're showing signs that they're actually moving towards those goals and not just like using it as an excuse to just be a hoe, then I get it.
Yeah.
But if you meet the right person, you'll figure it out.
Yeah, for sure.
And sometimes you might need that woman to make you financially stable.
That's right.
Because like I might be good at making money, but I might not be good at budgeting or keeping up with certain things, you know, and maybe lady in my life might be better than. So two of us together can create a lot more financial stability.
Definitely me.
That makes sense.
Complement each other.
That's true. I feel, I don't know what the dating scene is like now, but I feel like, but I feel like there is a lot of, like women put a lot of pressure on men too. Like you got to have this number, you got to take me to these types of restaurants and like certain standards that are projected, I think, onto men to where they're like, oh, well, you know, I ain't really trying to do all that. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to just stack my money until I'm ready to commit to that level. I don't know. Like you said, I think you'll change for the right person and you'll buckle down for the right person. But it ain't all got to be in order.
Yeah. And I think a lot of that social media stuff where women are making these demands, most of those women don't even get asked on dates because normally if you're dating, the person that you're attracting already knows that those are the standards for you. You don't have to, like, I've never told a guy, like, you better take me here. Or you,
oh, yeah.
Like, that's crazy to me. Most of those women are saying this stuff because they've never experienced it before.
And you're right. You're right. That's a good point.
And they probably won't. They keep saying that on the internet.
Right.
And I mean, because if you ask a woman, most women are saying, like, I'm only going to date a guy that makes six figures. Well, have you ever dated a guy that makes six figures?
Right.
Do you even know any guys that
do
make,
you
six,
make
figures?
Six figures?
Right. And most of the time it's no. That's just something they keep hearing. They just keep regurgitating it.
Yeah.
Well, and I can tell you, I make whatever, right? Like, how you going to verify?
And what makes you think I'm going to spend it on you?
Right.
That's because I'm making
If I'm making six figures, like, I got standards.
And listen. I have options.
Right. And options. Exactly.
Facts. So I had a Gen Z panel on with men and boys and girls. Guys, well, I'm going to say boys.
Young men and young women. Yeah, there we go.
And like we said earlier off camera, that this generation is kind of going away from marriage. So what are some things like that we can do to better prepare young men to want to be married?
I think it just comes from talking to them about it. Like even my son, he's hadn't reached an age where he's really interested in girls yet, but mm-hmm. I talk to him all the time about, you know, one day you're going to marry somebody and, you know, you're going to have a wife and things like that. And, you know, making sure or being strategic about people you have them around, you know, that's key.
That's good.
Because I was blessed to grow up in a place where pretty much all my uncles were married, you know, aunts were, you know, the homemakers and things like that. So that's what I grew up seeing, you know, when I'd go visit our relatives and stuff like that. And I think that just translated to kind of how I expected my life to be at some point.
Okay.
Yeah, to piggyback off of Eric, I do think that, yeah, there should be a firm understanding for them of what a marriage requires. Mm. I think a lot of times, you know, we as a community may not have the example of a husband and wife at home, but they go off what they see on TV. Mm. But us as husbands, we can say, hey, this is what's required. You know, there's going to be compromise. There's going to be times where you're going to want to be right and you don't need to be right. And, you know, it's a lot of understanding the behind the scenes of being a companion to someone that you're going to spend the rest of your life with. And, you know, beyond the good parts, because we see the good parts. Mm-hmm. It's the parts that we need to be like, hey, but this is what's required to be in that role. Mm. And I think, you know, it's almost like you need a PowerPoint presentation these days.
Yeah, I would definitely say fathers are incredibly important. Like, you know, we had two boys and mm-hmm. I didn't realize the influence of a father until like just seeing how they model him. Like, fathers are just incredibly important. I think that's like being active in that way and setting an example of a husband, of a provider, of a protector, someone that, you know, is going to support, be a supporter of the family. I think those are always to, like, you know, prep yes. a man for marriage, absolutely. A young man for marriage. Yeah.
And because I feel like back in the day, like, there was a lot of locker room talk with men. Like, they weren't really grooming boys to be husbands. They were grooming them to be hoes and to go spread their seed and wild oats and just be free and do whatever. And it's like now the generation that we're in, a lot of these men just still are, they're like that. Their arrested development is crazy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's like, okay, so y'all not going to ever just like,
yeah,
stop being a jock? Like, stop.
Well, yeah. And honestly, like, my dad was born in 1935. So
goodness gracious.
There was.
He knew Harriet.
I'm sorry, man.
Sheesh.
No. There just was no, just certain things just didn't talk about, right? Mm. There's no sex education, you know. Yeah. Like, literally, he said, keep yourself clean.
Yeah.
That was, you know, that was like it. Like, one sentence was my sex education from my dad. So, so you just didn't talk about this kind of thing. That, like I said, I learned from example. Now my uncles kind of ran the gambit. Mm-hmm. You know, I had one that was a pastor and one that was literally a pimp. So this is how, you know, I learned about different facets of life from my uncles. Because, you know, your parents try to hide stuff from you.
Pretty comprehensive textbook.
Right. Yeah. We went from one end to the other. All right. Yeah.
They all grew up in the same house, too. That's, oh,
that's funny.
Yeah. That's wild.
Yeah. Pimp was the youngest. So, he was the wild one. So.
I like what you said about the locker room conversation too, because that's a lot of what the barbershop conversations. You know, the older men thinking that they can give tips, and they're giving you the cheat sheet to companionship or marriages, giving you what they did to get to succeed and not necessarily to maintain a healthy relationship. It's like, all right, happy life, happy wife, which, you know, is triggering and kind of toxic. You know, yes, dear was another one that was, you know, false hack tips. It was like, just do what makes her happy. Again, not making a happy marriage, but just pacifying your wife. So a lot of those that we were kind of fed and was very common tips were some of the most destructive ones, or potentially destructive tips that we were given. You know, so I think it's definitely best now for us to give the entire layout, and then just not the ones that can keep you alive in your marriage.
Keep you alive.
Above water.
Man.
Above water. Like,
so how do we prepare young women for marriage and not just a wedding?
Oh, man. So, like, it is, I tell people all the time, like, don't, if I'd rather you save up to buy a house than to pay for a wedding. Like, it's such a quick moment. Mm-hmm. I remember maybe 2-3 things about our wedding. The rest of it was like such a blur.
Yeah.
I remember them ribs though. Listen, we had some, anybody that's listening, y'all know about them ribs. But I think that, you know, we have to teach young women to like ground themselves in more than material things. You know, like there's more to life than what people see. And I think that that is it, like we're countering social media and countering the culture that we live in. That's like all about what you look like, what you sound like, what you achieve, and you got to go after it and all of that. So I think teaching young women certainly to not be so materialistic, but also like there's a lot of self-work that you got to do before you get married. And I thought that like in my head, I was like, oh, I'm going to be married, you know, in my early 20s, by 25, I had a schedule. I don't even know how old I was when we got married, but I was in my 30s.
We've been married 9 years.
Let's see.
38, so
it's 29. Yeah, so I was 29.
Made fun of me. It's two of them, and they had to work it out.
Listen, but we ain't got as many years though, that had.
When you
get
certified, the wheel's spinning. I get it.
Listen, but I had a list, but I had to learn, like I had to face that list. You know, and to be like, all right, do I even meet the standards that I'm trying to put on somebody else? And, listen, you know, that's when you start self-reflecting and stuff like that. So, yeah, that's what I would say.
And I think that's really hard for women to do.
Yeah.
That's one of the biggest complaints I hear from men is women don't take accountability. Women don't hold women accountable. They act like they're never wrong. Like I hear this all the time.
We never wrong. Nah.
And I mean, I experienced it in my last relationship where it may have been harsh when he was calling me out on stuff, but then I'm like, yeah, I was kind of messed up. Like,
yeah.
I was not willing to just accept that things were not just my way. And I think because women are raised, not only are we not raised to be wives, in my opinion, in my community that I've grown up in, a lot of women are raised to prepare for a wedding. But nobody is showing them, what do I need to do to be a wife? Like, what's the instructions for that?
Yeah.
Right. Gosh.
And then like, we don't have a lot of examples either. Like, growing up, I don't know if anybody in my family was married, to be honest with you. My grandfather died before I was born, so. Yeah.
That, and I mean, I think that shows, like, the power of community. Like, I you know, my mom was not married. My parents weren't married, you know. So, like, I didn't have a lot of married women. And even the examples of married women I have is just like very different of what a wife, what I have experienced as being a wife today, you know? So I think that like there, I saw examples in people who were outside of my family that, you know, I would sort of, that would mentor me and I'd pay attention to. It's like I think community really matters.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I heard like early on when before Kevin Samuels died, Lord help us all, a lot of men were like kind of bashing Black women in that area where they're like, well, you didn't have an example. So how do you know how to be a wife?
Yeah.
And I'm like, just because my mom wasn't married doesn't mean I didn't see marriages. Like,
right.
That's true.
But and then you have to realize like growing up, a lot of us were in some survival mode. Yes. Thinking about marriage was nowhere near my mind. I'm trying to figure out how I'm going to eat, how I'm going to get out of this house, how I'm going to make money. Like, I didn't think marriage never, ever crossed my mind growing up, ever. Even though I got married at 19, I didn't want to be. But that's another story.
Right. Oh, wait a minute now.
The military make you do crazy stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Trying to get extra money.
No, I was trying not to go to North Dakota.
Oh,
good. Listen.
Yeah, I should have went to North Dakota. So since we are talking, the topic of this show was about our grandmoms, right? And how a lot of times on social media, of course, because that's the life we live, we hear this, well, women aren't like grandma used to be. She stuck around. She sacrificed a lot. She took a lot. Why can't marriages be like that now? Do you think your grandma was, her sacrifice was like she, it was her strength or was it in silence?
Well, I didn't grow up with grandparents, but, you know, like I said, my dad was so old, you know, parents already gone by the time.
He was your granddaddy.
Like, exactly. But, you know, I mean, obviously, society shifted, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, what's the old TV show in the 50s, the Honeymooners, where, like, they're, like, literally joking about domestic violence. Just like, mm-hmm. Okay, well, let's look it up. But, I'm just saying, like, you would never see it on TV now, right?
Yeah.
So luckily, society shifted. But now I'll say I was blessed. Like I said, most of my aunts, you know, would be like my grandmother age, if, you know, a normal dynamic.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they were suffering, right? I don't think they were suffering in silence, but they were married to good men, mm-hmm. you know, for the most part. So, but I have seen that situation, right? Like it's, especially unfortunately with domestic violence and things, you can almost, even if you don't witness it, you can almost sense it sometimes, mm-hmm. With people. So I have seen in, you know, my neighborhood situations where people are definitely suffering, but what's she going to do? Right. And she doesn't have any money. She can't put a bank account, you know, or I guess now you can, but
To answer your question, the answer is yes. You know, silence, our grandparents didn't have an avenue where domestic violence could be responded to the way she needed it to.
Mm-hmm.
So she stayed where she was secure, so to speak. The strength, of course, was, you know, I'm doing this with my kids.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm staying here. I'm taking care of my husband because I need him to provide for our family. So it was both strength and silence. I mean, because I'm pretty sure the probability was low where the women could leave the house for the kids to fend for themselves.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It was, you know, they were the backbone of the household while the father provided. So mm-hmm. I think it was a little bit of both. I think that if there was an opportunity where we're speaking out about, you know, neglect or abuse, they would approach it. But then what that it just right. that we didn't have a culture where that was a thing.
Yeah,
totally different culture. Like, I wonder if it's even fair for us to compare like marriage today to marriage back then, just because it was, things were tolerated back then, and there were things like our grandparents didn't have access to certain stuff, which I think mm-hmm. is what you're saying. But one thing I will say is that like there is a level of stick-to-itness that marriage requires
mm-hmm.
that I think we can learn from our grandmothers of like, okay, I'm going to see this through really tough times mm-hmm. or see this through the difficult times. Now, I'm not saying you tolerate just anything from anybody, but I do think like nowadays marriage is like, if I don't like it, I'll just leave.
Yeah.
You know, like people, that's like an option, and people are okay with that. You know, I think mm-hmm. that's a big thing that we can learn from our grandmothers, but as far as staying through, you know, craziness, we don't need to be doing that.
Well, but 67 years ago, there were only so many jobs women could even do.
That's true.
So what choice did you really have?
Right.
And that's why I hate the comparison, because I feel like the guys today are just, they're just like beating us in the head with, well, your grandma stayed, even if your granddad had a family down the street, she didn't go nowhere. And I'm like, where's she going?
Yeah.
She didn't have a bank account. She couldn't get one.
Couldn't get a credit card.
She couldn't get a house. Like, where would she go? And I said, if we have conversations with our grandparents, if they're still living, they would probably tell you I would have left too if I could have.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I would reverse that question on if a guy like posed something like that to me and be like, well, why do you want me to stay in that type of situation? Are you saying that that's the type of man that you are?
And I think that's what it boils down to. It's like they're saying that we would rather just leave in a toxic, horrible, just crazy environment, but our grandmom stayed in it. I'm like,
but The ironic part to that is, by expecting her to stay, you're not holding yourself accountable for your own actions.
Yeah. And I don't think they want to. I think that's the thing.
Right. But those same men say that women aren't holding themselves accountable. That's what I'm saying. That's
double standard that doesn't apply to them. Yeah.
Right.
But this is that same, like, where we were talking about the barbershop talk and talking the locker room talk. It's like the men have this code that they can live by, but women better not.
Yeah. And unfortunately, just because of just different things in our community and attacks on our community, things like that, we're in a situation where there are just more eligible women to be married than there are eligible men, right? Because a lot of our men are incarcerated or whatever.
Okay.
So that just, and even the ones who are straight are arguing with the woman about who gets the nicer purse, but you know, I digress.
Wow.
And I think that's one of the biggest issues on social media. When you have these men talking, they feel like they have all these options.
Yeah.
And it's like, but you don't even qualify for half of them. So what are we talking about?
Right.
Social media got us thinking, got folks thinking that
and realistically, if those guys that are actually on the internet all the time talking were actually had options for exercise, they wouldn't have time to be on the internet talking. So
yeah, exactly. I agree. Listen. Yeah. I try not to drag them too much, but every chance I get,
now and then, I got time today.
So I think you touched on this a little bit about like back in the day, certain things that we should take from back in the day and try to implement them now. Is there any other tools that you think we should use that, you know, maybe did keep the family together that we don't kind of use now outside of social media? Because we
honestly, I think, well, I will say I'm really only basing this off of what my grandmother passed away when I was pretty young. Mm-hmm. But one thing that I will say that I do remember about my grandmother is that she was a servant. Like, if people were coming over, this house gonna be clean.
Yep.
I'm gonna cook all these good meals. Yep. My grandfather always had his clothes, you know, pressed, laid out. There was a sense of like, I'm really serving my husband. Mm-hmm. And now you have women that's like, I'm not doing that. Me, I love to cook. I don't like to clean, but I'll cook all day long if I had a time. But I think that there is like this servanthood, this servant spirit, even this like submissive type of role. I think that is a role that is like misconstrued in the world we live in today, where it's like, I don't want to submit to anyone, but in actuality, we should submit to those to a man who is worth submitting to. Let's put it that way.
We should submit to one another.
Exactly. Ooh, yeah.
Well, I think what we're missing now is back in the day, men had more of a masculine energy, so women could live in their feminine energy.
You keep talking about this estrogen. Oh my God.
I'm just saying. but like literally, it's proven that like a 30-year-old man now has less testosterone than a 50-year-old man had like 100 years ago.
Oh God.
That's because they was off at war. Oh,
is that why they got 14 ED?
Years ago. It was driving.
I mean, maybe, I don't know. I don't suffer, so I can't really speak to that, but you know.
That's interesting.
You had to be a man much earlier back then too.
I mean, I'm sure part of it is because physically, you know, the work was physically hard.
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean?
I'm working by 12, 13. So, you know, your manliness was taken in a lot earlier.
And the jobs back there require physical labor. Now they can just go.
Right. I'm sure
sit at the drive-through or work at a call center.
Right. And then, you know, we're eating all this, you know, processed stuff and all that probably has something to do with it too.
Yeah. Oh, that's interesting. Yeah.
In regards to your question about the tools that we can use, I think one thing I definitely remember from both of my grandparents, all of my grandmothers, is that despite the relationship they had with my grandfather, like one particular set of grandparents, they were separated well before I was born.
Mm-hmm.
She never spoke ill about them. Mm-hmm. Not until she got older, but she didn't care no more.
Like, and they filter went out the door.
But when I was younger, she never spoke ill. They coexisted the way they, the best they could when they were around each other. You know, nothing was ever spoke. She was like, you know, I focus on what's here, you know, and he'll show himself. I will be who I'm going to be to you all. And I think, and in the long run, I think the little seed she gave me was like, I don't want you to have a negative connotation of your grandfather, despite what I went through with him. And I think that was a good practice of, you know, don't let my ill relationship, she was not gonna let her ill relationship tamper or, what's the word I'm looking for? Manipulate, or not manipulate, but coerce us to think a certain way about our grandfather. And I think that, you know, that spoke volumes when I got older about mm-hmm. how, despite what we're going through, mm-hmm. it's between us. You know, yes. you work that out between them as I am with them as well. So
that's great that because volume. You can see it every day on social media.
Yeah.
I hate my baby daddy. I'm like, oh my God. None that speaks more about you than right. him.
Exactly.
Yeah. Why did you pick him? Yeah, now that's a good one to take. I hate to see women bashing men at all, mm-hmm. but just that whole baby mama, baby daddy back and forth online is like,
why? Yeah.
Why?
Yeah. And it can be provoked. He could be trash in all ways of the word. Yeah.
Text
but
him.
I think
your right. Here you exactly. go.
don't let it change your character. You know, yep. you're a good person, and now you gotta be just as trash
yep.
because you feel a certain way. You know, now you stoop to his or her level.
So and did he I just become it. Trash? Because
right, because like, you were with him.
At least for a few minutes.
Right.
Oh God, Eric.
No. They go low, I go lower.
Apparently.
Yeah.
So I posted this question today or yesterday on my social media. And of course, the men always go crazy. So who do you think gets more out of marriage, men or women? And you can't say both.
The children.
Good answer. Good answer.
I can't beat that answer.
I'm gonna read some of the comments.
If I can't say both, mm-hmm. then I'll say men.
It's an ebb and flow, right?
Yeah, that's true. I think in a healthy marriage, it absolutely is an ebb and flow. Like sometimes, you know, I may sacrifice more to make mm-hmm. space for him. Sometimes he may sacrifice more to make space for me. That's the way it should be. And I think that in a healthy marriage, the answer is both.
Okay.
I think that if we're talking about based on society, I would say that men probably are getting the better end of the bargain than women because it is in our nature to nurture. Mm-hmm. And so, like, you have women who are probably, you know, with someone who is not to their standard or, like, needs to be pushed along as opposed to a man sort of manning up and leading in a way that he should as a husband. So there are no subliminals for my marriage in what I'm saying. Let me just make that clear.
She's just answering the question.
I'm just answering the question. Yeah.
I'm like, all right, no, it's not talking
about me. Nah. I'm going to read one of the responses from.
Oh boy.
Pray for me with these comments. So first he just said women. And I said, can you please explain your point? He said it's in its simplest form, women receive more and men give more in a marriage. Women get a pay raise and men get a pay decrease when they combine their assets in a marriage. Then unfortunately divorce years later, women get acknowledged the most in a two-parent nuclear household, regardless of their tangible contribution. In my humble opinion, marriage saves women from themselves and puts more unnecessary stress on men. Children and legacy are the primary reason men succumb to marriage.
Succumb? He must not be married.
I said, oh, I just was
or
like, you know,
or his, you know.
Business and a bad marriage.
But see, okay, it's all about how you perceive things, right? Mm-hmm. If you think we're coming together, because marriage is the one place where two and two can equal five mm-hmm. instead of four, if you're doing it right. Right. Because you can bring the best out of each other and make more than two of you have alone.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're going in with what am I going to get out of this? Right. Yeah. Then you're already behind the eight ball.
Mm-hmm.
He sounds
very jaded.
Yeah.
Very bitter. Yeah. Very broken. Mm-hmm. And I responded.
From a place of hurt.
Yeah. And I told him his assessment really went to the core of finances. Like it wasn't really anything about anything outside of
right.
money.
Again, mm-hmm.
But also that's his answer is based totally on the idea that the man makes more than the woman,
that
which
was my
is
response.
Not necessarily yep. the truth anymore.
That was my response to him. He kept going. So I was like, I'm not talking with this dude today. But I did say, so you're implying that
it's really going to get skewed.
Yeah.
Women are way more educated than men are now in our community.
Yeah, I said you're implying that men always make more money than women. I'm sorry, this is your experience.
Yeah.
And then he went into bashing women that make more money. And
like, yeah, it sounds like maybe he just has had one too many bad experiences with being mistreated by women, or maybe he just has like a jaded view of what a
or he didn't vet his partners properly.
Yeah.
That part.
I think that men get more out of marriage than women, and I think women get more out of divorce than men.
Because I even think about the kind of problematic, but in some marriages, when moms are like, my kids were the best thing to come out of my marriage, they have a better relationship. Well, it's not always the case. So, right. I mean, you guys can check it out in the comments, but like, I've heard a lot of cases where they have a great relationship with their mom. Their dad's cool, but the mom, you know, they commonly they get the emotional majority of the pool. So I think, yes, if there's division, she'd be like, well, the kids love me. So
at least I got that.
Yeah.
But if man gets more of it, that's really a testament to the woman.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Because we were designed that way, though. Right. He's supposed to get that out of the marriage.
Yep.
But a lot of men will argue you down and say that men are the best thing that's happened to women and they need them. And I'm like, where are these men?
I need them.
Where they at?
Where they at, though?
They're not on the internet running their mouths because they got other things to do.
They're busy. Right. Paying all the bills.
I used to make a joke about God gave us the sperm because then that's the only way that we could stay alive is that you all need us for procreation.
Listen.
If you all can, you know, procreate with each other, we wouldn't stay alive.
That is terrible. Oh, my goodness. Okay, so when it comes to a marriage or a relationship, what are the rules to fighting? And I'm asking this question because I was in a relationship and the guy told me that there are no rules to fighting. If I say something to you, if I say something to him, I don't get to determine what he says back to me. If I punch him, not figuratively, not literally, and he can stab me, I don't get to decide what weapon he uses. I don't feel that way. But what y'all think about fighting in relationships?
Well, is your goal, and I would ask him, is your goal to just win the fight? Or is your goal to come to some sort of resolution that's going to level up your relationship?
Well, apparently he wanted to win the fight. But in a marriage, what's
right? Well, I'm just saying, but in that's how I would answer that question. If you want to just win the fight, then no rules or whatever. But if you're really trying to solve a problem, maybe, one rule I have is I'm just going to be silent for 30 seconds after you stop talking. So I can really think through what you said, at least give you the illusion that I'm listening to you, right?
The illusion.
Well, I'm just saying,
he was headed in the right direction, and then
I'm just being honest. Sometimes I'm fuming, and so I've got to if I say this, things are gonna go really left. So let me just be quiet for 30 seconds, and at least give the illusion that I'm listening to what you're saying, because I think a lot of times people just want to feel like they're heard.
Your wife must be really patient, because if you took 30 seconds to respond to me and we arguing, that's going to be ugly.
Not 30.
Well,
that's a long time.
I'm not the easiest person to be around or be married to, so she is a saint. I'll say that. but I have a tendency to cut people down, so she, she appreciates me not saying the first 10 things that come to my mind, because it's probably not going to go well.
Okay.
You took a breath. I thought you were about
to. I wanted to wait to see if you were ready.
No, go ahead.
I don't think we have set any rules to our argument. I will say that there is something that we exercise whenever we have an argument to a certain point. Is this is what I'm hearing. This is what I hear. And this is what I should do to resolve it. Because a lot of times we'll be going back and forth saying the same thing over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
And then, both of us can get really passionate. To the point of tears. I mean, let's keep it real, because I have gotten to the point where I'm not hearing what she's saying because she's not getting my point. Mm-hmm. When, the whole time it's like, I am not listening, and really, she needs to hear how I'm receiving it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there has definitely been a point, we learned this from marital counseling, is that we need to be clear about, all right, I hear you saying this. This is what I'm deducting from it. Do I have it right? Mm-hmm. Am I missing something? Mm-hmm. Taking a break is absolutely a good idea, because it's like, all right. Because there's been times where I'm like, I want to be right.
Yep.
And it's not going to help. So I'm like, let me back up. But there's definitely a point where I'm like, all right, maybe I'm not hearing you correctly, because I know how you communicate. I know how we communicate.
Mm-hmm.
And for some reason, we are just not getting through the door the right way. So I just take a different approach.
Yeah.
That's kind of been.
And I think you have to honor the other person. If they say that I need to take a break or I don't want to talk about this right now, don't keep, beating the issue. The biggest rule, I think, also, I'm going to just say that I don't know if I really like the word fighting. Yeah. And you use the word argument. I was like, I don't even know if we've actually quantified any of our disagreements as a fight, so to speak, because that indicates that we're on opposite teams, you know? And I think that the biggest thing about marriage is realizing, like, we on the same team. We might be a little off on this particular thing that you ticked me off or I ticked you off about, but we're on the same team. And even though in the heat of the moment, it can be hard to, like, you know, maintain that balance of remembering that we're on the same team, I do think that that is a rule, at least to how you resolve your conflict. It's like, okay, we're on opposite ends right now. Let's figure out how do we get closer to, like, meeting in the middle or, you know, coming to some sort of resolve.
One more for me. I have to remind myself that I am arguing with somebody who never wants to hurt me. And so we'll get to the point of that argument where I am defending myself like she's trying to hurt me. And so now I'm acting like, all right, well, no, you don't understand. Like, she's trying to break me down, but that's not the case. So I have to go back to, all right, she's not doing this to be to be abusive or to be hurtful. So let me not respond in a way that I shouldn't have. I'm not defending myself because she's not trying to hurt me. We may be passionate. She may be hurt, but she's not responding to hurt me. And so I gotta, like, again, remove my carnal or my flesh. I guess, for lack of better terms, in that particular case, and be like, wait a minute, this is not my enemy. She's not trying to hurt me.
Yeah.
So let me just calm that beast down.
Okay.
Yeah.
I like it.
Say beast.
At that point, you know, you see red. You just, you're like, I don't. I want you to just hear what I say and don't say anything else. You know what I mean? That's not what you, you know.
We didn't know our team.
So y'all do kind of have rules. So y'all, y'all kind of listed them out. So that's good.
Yeah.
Thank you for bringing that.
I think there are rules. Yeah, for sure.
Appreciate that.
Because I think a lot of relationships, sometimes they hit below the belt. I've heard often men always say that they won't be vulnerable with the woman because they'll use it against them. So those types of things are just, in my opinion, just so just mean. Like, I don't know why you would use something vulnerable, like, and attack somebody with it. That's insane to me. But I think they should, there should be some type of rules in fighting or having disagreements.
I don't know if I looked up with my companion, but there's times where my vulnerable area needs to be exposed for me to get better in it. I use the analogy of, like, all right, say if you got a trainer, right? Be careful, because I know I've used analogies with you before.
You see, he perked up, like, so, wait a minute.
You have a personal trainer, right? And you got to learn how to do push-ups. If you do not do push-ups the right way, you can hurt yourself, right? If your form isn't right, you're not going to build muscle. Same thing with using weights. If they say, hey, you're trash at your form, you need to fix that. Then that's the only way that you're going to get better at what you're doing. Same thing with my marriage. If she's like, sweetheart, you're not good at planning, so let's work on that area.
Yeah.
To some people, that's like, oh, she just, you know, oh, she because I got ADHD, you know, I don't know how to clean up after myself. She's like, no, I'm telling you, where's some areas you can work on to make yourself better.
Yeah.
All right. So I think, you know, not attacking, but acknowledging my weak areas, you know, makes them not so weak anymore.
I think men are, this is just my opinion, so y'all leave me alone in the comments. I think men are better at taking that type of feedback than women are, because women aren't often called out on their stuff. And if they are, it's normally from somebody actually trying to attack them. So when you get into a relationship with somebody and a guy is like telling you, look, you gotta fix these things, you're like, who are you talking to? You can't, because you can't tell your mama her food nasty because you're gonna discover that. When you try. But mama, it don't taste good. But you better not say it.
Right.
Like,
get it right.
Nah, that's true. I'm thinking about ways that he has corrected me. Like, it don't feel good the first couple of times, but then after so long, it's like, okay, like, this is somebody who we trying to get better together. So I should be glad that someone is willing to have an honest conversation with me about something that I'm doing that's not conducive, you know, like, they want me to be my best. I want to be my best. Just deliver it gently, you know.
See, I got dragged in the comments about that. Like, having a conversation with somebody and the delivery is different, because I believe that honesty without empathy is brutality. And they're like, no, you just need to hear the truth. Is it a life or death situation? Because if it's not, you can actually say it in a nice way without making me feel like shit. Like, what are you talking about?
Exactly. Yeah.
I don't understand the whole needing to be mean to get a point across. It's not necessary.
Yeah. Honesty. I'm sorry. Honesty, but also with an opportunity to resolve it. Like, I could say, man, hey, yo, your breath stink. That can hurt. You'll be like, hey, or you're like, here's your breath, I'll give you some gum. Exactly.
Right.
I think he would receive it differently if I just left him with, you need to have work in that area.
Peace. I ain't gonna give you no mint, no net.
Right. Just, let me help you with the result. Same thing with in marriage. She could be like, you know, this is trash and I don't like it. Now, if we have reached a certain part of the argument where she just doesn't have the energy to say, let's work that out, then she's earned that to be like, I don't like it. So I need to
work on that. Just fix that. Yeah.
I do think that being honest with resolve, no matter how you present it, I mean, depending on who your companion is the key.
Yeah. And just knowing that that person is not hurting you. Like you said, like that really matters, because sometimes you might be in a relationship where they are trying to hurt you.
Right.
So you can't figure out, hold on, this ain't gonna work. This dude is just a douchebag.
Yeah. If you have no thoughts, he probably is. So, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. So do you think it is actually possible? I guess I'm just going to ask it. Is it possible to be in a relationship and or marriage and love your partner unconditionally?
Give it to me one more time.
Yes.
Is it possible to be in a relationship or marriage and love your partner unconditionally?
I think so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't. But tell me why y'all think
now, is it possible for everybody? No.
No, I just don't
think. But is it possible? Yes. There have been examples of it, right?
So then there would be no divorces, right? Because you would
no. I didn't say it's possible for everybody. It's possible for some people.
Yeah,
it's possible for some people to love. But just because if I love you unconditionally, but you still want to leave, I can't stop you.
So well, not leave per se, but let's say, and I'm asking. You know, I'm asking because I was in a. Let's just get some. Let me be transparent. I was in a horrible relationship for 5 years, and it's all my fault. I don't blame him. I should have left. But he was a piece of shit. But
somebody told you that. But go ahead.
Shut up. But you did. But he would always say that you need to love me unconditionally. And I'm like, you ain't my child? No, because you can do some shit, I'm leaving.
Yeah.
My love got boundaries and I'm not gonna tolerate just anything. I just don't think that I could love a person that didn't come from me unconditionally. Because there are certain things that they could probably do to me that's gonna make me cut their ass off.
Yeah. Yeah. As we had this conversation, it's like unconditionally, meaning under no condition will I stop loving you.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's only for my kids.
Well, see, I believe I can love you from afar.
Yeah. That's what I was going to say. Yeah.
I don't.
Like, you know, not this person is my wife, but this is somebody I'm very, very close to, you know, grew up together, you know, kind of odds now. I still love him. I love him unconditionally.
But he related to you, ain't he?
But it's from afar. You know what I mean?
Like, can you be in a relationship or a marriage?
You can. I think you can. And like I said, there have been examples of it. You know, there are biblical examples of it.
Yeah, I was just going to say, like, I mean, I think if you're trying to tap into like the unconditional part, then you gotta have some kind of faith driving that.
Now, there might be like 0.5% of people that can do it. I'm right. Saying, but it is possible, you know?
Yeah.
It's possible.
That's why I didn't want to use the word possible. I was trying to think of another word. Like,
can I personally do it? You know, I don't want those boundaries to be tested.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, but
it definitely requires a supernatural intervention for you to be like, under no condition will I stop loving you. You know what I mean? Uh-huh. I think about that with, you know, entertaining the idea of like, okay, she stopped loving me. And she's out with another man. But unconditional. I don't have that power to be like, well, I'm still going to love her unconditionally. Because that's a condition to where I just can't see myself continuing to love her. So yeah, it takes, supernatural.
I think I can love you though and not be with you. I can have love for someone. Like if you, I can demonstrate love towards someone, even if they have mistreated me. But that don't mean that I have to stick around and tolerate whatever you know.
And that's why I say in a relationship and marriage.
Yeah.
Not after it's over.
I mean, I want to be able to love my husband and my husband for sure. I think about some of the relationships. It's like, you're not obligated to my unconditional love, you know. But to my husband, I want to love him unconditionally. Again, like you said, I hope that it won't be tested. But but like we have already like established a foundation that like even if he did something that betrayed me in a way, I'd be like deeply hurt. But okay, now we got to figure that out. Like I can love you through sorting that out, you know?
Because you know a lot of people use, which is not a good example to use. So people, please don't use this shit. But they use Kirk and Rashida from Love and Hip Hop as like this oh, that's how the women were back in the day, and she loved him unconditionally. She didn't leave. You bring another baby over here.
Rashida, Lord. Please.
It's a wrap. Oh,
that was
it's an absolute no for me.
Yeah. Agreed. Yeah, that was that's not this. Yeah, for sure. Nah. Yeah,
it's just like, no.
You gotta be loving the right person to reach.
Yeah, I don't know if that would go over too well. I feel that might be a problem.
And some women can tolerate that. Like, some women are like, all right, whatever, bring them on over.
They can tolerate unconditionally.
Unconditional tolerance.
That child would be my child's sibling. So I think, you know, it should be embraced, the child.
You need your ass.
All right, here we go now.
You want to take your ass over there with them. I don't think I could do it.
I'm just saying, it's best for the kid.
I need you to stop advocating for this, okay? You still want to be married when you get
home? Right.
What is wrong with you? I'm trying to help you here, sir. Okay, so here's another point that's always, this statistic, this percentage is always spewed all over social media by men. 80% of divorces are filed by women. Why? Why do you?
That's because y'all be cheating.
Well, also, women are a lot better at following up with paperwork and stuff than we are. Hey, so that's the real answer.
Okay. Yeah.
We don't feel like going through it.
Yeah.
But also, what did you say earlier? Women get more out of divorce. So who's more inclined to go do the paperwork if you're going to get more out of it?
But I don't think that women... I just hate that this statistic is thrown out there and it's like, oh, y'all do it because y'all know y'all gonna get money out of divorce. No, we're doing it because you probably cheated. You might be abusive. You're probably making my life hell. I'm sick of your ass. Mm-hmm. I've been catering to you for 20 years and I'm out of here.
Or he's wearing your clothes or whatever.
Oh, man.
Because we talked about this before about how, because you are an advocate for younger people getting married younger.
Yes.
And I said, in my experience, majority of the people that I knew that got married young got divorced young too. So they're on their second marriage.
Yeah.
Trying to think.
But like you got to learn, right? Like you learn about yourself.
That's something you do a trial run.
I'm just saying a lot of people learn a lot about themselves from a relationship, whether it worked or not.
Yeah.
That's how you learn a lot about yourself.
Yeah, I agree, but
the answer 80%, I think the victim files the divorce. And unfortunately, I would believe it if 80% of the women file it, is because they are the victim and the reason for the divorce, honestly.
Yeah.
I really can't refute that too much. I'm pretty sure that's the case.
People are throwing out this stat like we want to get divorced.
Right.
Like, no, maybe there are a very small minority of people who like, oh, yeah, I'm after the money, so I'm going to do this and then file, you know, whatever. But I think most women want to stay married.
Yeah.
And divorce is like annoying. It has to be. Right. I ain't never been divorced. But, it's a lot of.
Right.
Things you have to do in order to get divorced is not an easy process. Like,
and you ain't got no money anyway.
Yeah, and like,
they got all these assets. Like, where?
Yeah,
it's in my mama's name.
I just hate that, and that's always an ongoing argument in my comments.
That's
y'all women
wild.
Don't stay anyway. Y'all file 80%.
Wow, they're the victim and they still get the victim.
But also, I think we're also in a situation where, especially in our community, the women tend to outgrow the men.
That's good.
You know, I think that might play into it too.
Yeah, and you said it earlier, like there's not a lot of quality men. Like it's a small percentage that just got their shit together, that's marriage material, or they're already married, like they not on the market like that.
Right.
Yeah.
They get snatched up quick.
Right. The guys that you probably wanted by the time you're 28, they're probably locked in with somebody.
Yep. And then here I am out here in these streets. No, I'm joking. I'm joking, sir.
Joking. Like comedy. Okay.
Here we go.
Really? You know what, Eric? I'm not dealing with you now. So what is some advice that you guys would give, like, young adults, maybe 21 to like 25, that really desire marriage? What advice would you give them?
Do you desire marriage or do you desire to build something with a particular person?
Quit being so ridiculous and just answer the damn question.
That's what I would ask them.
They don't know. They're 21 and 25.
Okay. Well, if you had met somebody that you want to build something with, then don't think about marriage.
Yeah.
You know, wait till you meet somebody.
But how are you going to be prepared for them?
I mean, you never really prepare for marriage.
A wife is a wife before they become a wife.
Okay. You have to play the game before you get used to the game. All right. Like people poured into me and gave me all this advice and things, mm-hmm. and people at church poured me before I got married. And I still wasn't ready for that level of emotional commitment.
Mm-hmm.
Or just getting that emotional about things or just always being around somebody. Like I just, you know, like after like a few months, like you're always here. Like
mm-hmm. How old were you when you got married?
25.
Okay.
To your defense, Eric, I do think that there's a small, as far as like being prepared for marriage, kind of like being prepared for parenthood. Like there is no recipe for it to an extent. People can give you advice, but it hit different when you're actually in it.
Mm-hmm.
My personal experience as far as advice is kind of start looking into the areas of yourself that you are hesitant to let that your companion know about in the beginning. Like there's some things that I was dealing with that I was like, you know, I put that in the back burner. You know, I'll work on it later. When, you know, the reality is because I'm with you all the time, it's going to come out. Whether it's your attitude, whether it's, you know, some bad habits, some, you know, in my case, addictions, it's like you really just step back and be like, all right, I'm about to let this person in my house.
Mm-hmm.
Let's check all the closets and all, you know, check the skeletons in your closet. As opposed to saying, all right, I was able to live with it, so maybe they will. No.
Damn.
No. Really start to assess the value. You know how great you are, but start looking at the areas with like, I'm not so great in some areas before you bring someone into that. And if you do, let them know. Maybe they can help you in that area.
That's good. I needed that advice. That was good. I ain't trying to get married, but I needed that.
You don't want to get married? No. Okay. I'm done with it.
I got friends. Said young people, we're trying to
the hell up.
Oh my goodness. Auto blows. Now I would say definitely working on yourself. I think I don't know, when I was young, I put a lot of pressure on myself to like be married. And I think you can just take the pressure off yourself. You got family, especially women, you got family, you know, when you gonna settle down, we're gonna have some kids, stuff like that. Like there's some things that you just kind of gotta keep endeavoring in the way that you want your life to go and not let outside influences, you know, impact how you live your life.
Yeah.
But the biggest thing I think, and this isn't really advice to like young people, it's more so advice to older people. Mm-hmm. And that is to like set good examples for young people of honest examples as well. Like not perfect examples, but like talking about your flaws and your struggles and, you know, the things that y'all are sorting through. And like, I think the younger generation now just wants honesty and authenticity. Like, don't show me a pretend filtered view of marriage. Like, tell me what it's really like, because there's stuff that, you know, we got in and I'm like, man, like this is real. And I'm not trying to leave. So, all right, we got to figure this out, you know? So yeah.
Well, I'll say this also. If that is something you desire, get around like-minded people.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, like anything else. If you want to lose weight, you know, you got to get around like-minded people.
Right.
Yeah. You want to be a bodybuilder, you got to be around bodybuilders. So I think you got to get around like-minded people because other people will try to pull you back from what you want because they're jealous or they don't think they can get it.
Or they just don't have the capacity or the mindset to even influence you that way.
True.
What their own personal views are. But I like what you said about being honest, because my daughter is 28 and she just had, I can't say that. She has my grandbaby and she's engaged. But before she got engaged, I had a conversation with her fiance and I'm like, so when is the ring coming? Because she ain't about to be no baby mama. He was like, oh, I got it. I'm planning it. But before I had the conversation with him, I told her, I said, I don't want you to be a baby mom like me. Mm. Like, I may not want to get married again, but you need to do that. Like, this is legacy. This is important. And you need to build that. You don't have those examples around you, but I'm trying to tell you that this is what it is. So
yeah.
Thank God they're engaged now. They're about to get married. So just having those conversations, even if you don't have the examples,
yep,
to let them know, like, yeah, this is the build from here.
Right.
Don't wait till you 30 something and you like in the club with the old man with all them keys on the keychain at the damn bar. Right. You gotta get him. Listen, looking crazy. Swear he still got it.
Hey. Now, legit, that was one of my goals in life. One reason I got married 25 is I never wanted to be the old man in the club.
Like, it's embarrassing.
I remember saying that out loud to my friends, like, that's never gonna be me.
Right? Why are you here? You look crazy.
It's a lot of men today though.
Mm-hmm. And they still chasing somebody young.
Oh. Yep.
Sir, they don't want worms.
Not worms.
My aunt used to tell
my grandma told us that old man give you worms.
My aunt used to tell my female cousins.
That is disgusting. Yeah. I believe it still. Fred, the engineer over there, be getting on me. You need to get a man a chance that get a colonoscopy every year.
Oh,
the devil is a lie.
They might take care of you though.
They do. They're spending a bag now. Yep. Look, he over there green. He get on my nerves. So, what has been some of the best advice someone's ever given you? Any advice?
That's a good one. Relate to marriage, I'm assuming.
It can be, no, because you stay on the topic.
Oh, I would say someone told me, well, they didn't tell me directly. They told a room of people that there's no such thing as balance. So like a lot of time, like nowadays, we always like, man, my work-life balance is off and things of that sort. Like, because balance implies that everything has to be at the same level. And so rather than focusing on balance, you focus on prioritizing, like, what is most important? And just from the very beginning, approach things from, like, there are some things that deserve more of my time than others, as opposed to I have to divvy out the same amount of time to all these things. There's no such thing as balance. That's, like, that was life-changing hearing that.
Yeah. It just killed us Libras, but oh well.
You didn't inherit a legacy, you build a legacy. And for a while, I didn't really totally understand that. I think what I was hearing was what I didn't get. But what I realized is what they're telling me is, you know, you make your own path. You draw your own way. So you're building your legacy, right? Like the generation before you, or like I said, in my case, being adopted and all the other craziness that went on, you know, to get me here. You know, it's God's plan, but it's, you know, I have to build my own legacy.
Okay.
The best advice was, do not be like me, be better. It was from my father. I still kind of admire him to an extent, but I always looked up to my dad for a number of reasons. And I think, you know, he was like, one thing I want you to always remember is don't be like me. I will always want you to be better than me. And as I got older, I was like, all right, I see a lot of my similarities of myself and him, but then I also see some areas that he would want me to not take on as well. Whether it's, you know, I won't say there's specific things, but, you know, I see where there's areas of improvement that I could work on ahead of time, so to speak. And I always remember him saying, don't try to be like me. I want you to be better.
That's good.
So that was my biggest.
That's good. You know, I never answered that question, but I do ask these questions. These last two questions, the one I just asked in the last one, I ask this every episode. And I never answer it. So I'm going to answer it today. Best advice I've ever gotten is everything is always going to turn out exactly how it's supposed to.
Yeah.
Stop stressing. Just, it's going to work. You're going to win. And it's going to work.
Yeah. It definitely takes the weight off your shoulders to be worrying and for sure.
Yep. Last question. What relationship advice would you give your 15-year-old self?
Let me think about what I was doing at 15.
Bust it wide open.
No. Not at 15. You know, my mama might be watching. I ain't gonna say
she
the
was
number.
In the books, mama.
I was in band practice.
She went to Hampton, so you know.
It's nothing but upstanding women. Right. excellence and great character at the Hampton University. So.
Look, she's like, what?
15-year-old self. Oh, gosh. 15, all I could think about was baseball.
Y'all such good people.
I'm just saying, like I was trying to, you know, be professional players. That's all I was focused on.
No girls.
I mean, I had high school girlfriends, but you know, like wasn't I knew this wasn't gonna last, you know.
Oh,
do that.
Did she know that?
No,
see,
I mean,
being a player, she's on the temp side. Of the
you know, I mean, you know, I get, you know.
Oh I'm my blessed. God! But, pretty Ricky, what they call him?
I would say, to be what you expect from somebody. Like I can't expect you to be honest and open and loyal if I'm not doing the same thing, right? Mm-hmm. And if I'm doing that, I'll attract that.
Absolutely. That's good.
My 15-year-old self, relationally, I probably say don't be afraid. I think I was always afraid to express myself. I was afraid of being proactive. I was afraid of showing who I was. And I think from 15 to when I was being serious about dating, I would be more confident. Mm-hmm. I thank the Lord that I got who I got, despite me not giving the advice that I have now. But there's been a lot of times, even like when I was 19, 20, I was like, you know, if I was a little bit more confident, I could, you know, I would have done this, mm-hmm. or I would have had these type of friends. And I honestly wonder what type of person, like I am confident now, mm-hmm. but I only imagine how confident and secure in myself I would have been if I wasn't so afraid when I was 15. And I think that definitely plays a big role in my marriage because, you know, she likes when I take initiative. She likes when I'm confident, not just with her, but when I present myself to others as a freelancer, as a leader in my church, like she likes when I take control.
Yeah, when you lead. Yeah.
When I lead. Mm-hmm. And I didn't have that confidence until I was about 21, 22.
Wow.
So I would definitely say don't be afraid.
That's good.
That was really good.
I think for me, back at 15, I was so caught up. Like I was very self-aware. And I even like being hard on myself. Mm. Like I didn't really embrace, like it took me a while to really embrace totally being myself, you mm-hmm. know, and being confident in myself, similar to that, what you're saying. So I would definitely say to like embrace you. Mm-hmm. Like there is beauty in just like being yourself, not trying to be who someone wants you to be, not trying to be who you think you ought to be or who people will like. And like thinking back then, I didn't know that I didn't see myself as a likable person, even though like everybody liked me. Mm-hmm. Like the people around me were, you know, positive towards me and all of that, but I didn't really believe that about myself. Mm-hmm. So it's like you can be surrounded by people who believe in you, who, you know, do all these things, but if you don't believe it for yourself, yeah. It just took me a little bit of time before I like really owned, all right, this is who I am. You know, I'm good.
Yeah.
And I can embrace that. So I think just telling my younger self to embrace who you really are.
That's
good. Yeah.
Young girls really need to hear that.
Yeah.
Most really definitely. Need to hear that. This was amazing, guys. Yeah. I appreciate y'all for coming on the show.
Thank you for having
me. You guys were so insightful. Didn't make me want to get married, but I appreciate the insight. But this is the part of the show where I let the guests tell people how to follow you. If you got anything coming up, you want to promote, anything like that. That's your camera, and you can let them know.
I guess I'll go first. You can follow me, Ice Cold Eric. We actually have a Dash and I working together on a fundraiser, scholarship fundraiser for those in the Carolinas. Come out May 10th in Charlotte, North Carolina. It's called May Day. You can get tickets at mindfdnmindfoundation.org. Okay, mindfdn. .org. And we possibly have a podcast coming soon, but yeah. We'll talk more about that after.
Heard about this.
Heard about this.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
Let me lay in the smackdown.
Okay.
Jeez.
Here we go.
Just a little hint of what the podcast might be about. But anyway.
Lord. This guy.
Okay. Yes. So, yes, we got that cooking. We are Them Corys, Themcorrys.
Life with the Corys.
C-O-R-R-Y-S. No, our channel is Them Corys.
Yeah, but I want you to tell
life
them.
Life with the Corys podcast. I should have did it. Where we're doing life and making the most of things. This is my beautiful wife. We're both creators for Christ. So find us out on Instagram, on YouTube, on Facebook. It's Life with the Corys podcast. I'm Darius Corey, an illustrator. My wife is also a content creator as well. She has 3-minute study. I'm just going to pass over to her.
Oh. Listen, I just want y'all to follow at Life with the Corys because we're getting ready to have a live episode in 2 weeks.
Yes.
Where we're going to be answering questions live on the spot. And so that'll be a finale of our season. So it's our first season. It's been great. Glad about it.
We're going live, so you can bring all that smoke that you might have for this episode and bring
it. I don't know all of it. Maybe a little bit.
Bring all of it. Might not want some of our viewers, but
I'm up for the challenge.
They're a little different. I'm sorry, y'all. Pray for them. We're going to sprinkle some holy oil on them. Listen. But y'all know who I am. I am Didi Leggett, and I am the Core Queen. Y'all know what I need y'all to do. I need y'all to like, subscribe, comment, all that stuff on YouTube, the Core Queen chat. We just rebranded, so make sure you follow me on all the platforms. Didi Leggett is my personal page. Core Queen Fitness is my fitness page, because you know I help on big backs every day of the week. So if you need me to help you out, holler at your girl. I will get you where you need to go. Get you in that swimsuit next year, not this year. You're too late for this year. Should have been in the crock pot 3 months ago.
Be ready.
But y'all come, make sure you chat with me next week. I have a comedian coming on. He should be excited. He's a nationally touring comedian. I'll post him later. We ain't giving him no shine today. We give it to him next week. I appreciate y'all. Y'all know what to do. Holler at your girl. We out.
Are you a content creator looking for a space to create and elevate your brand? Well, look no further. The Core Queen Podcast Studios is now open. Core Queen Podcast Studios offers spaces for content creators to record or to live stream their podcast. Whether you're an aspiring creator or you're a seasoned vet, the Core Queen Podcast Studios is here for all your content creator needs. Visit CoreQueenPodcastStudio.com for more info. That's CoreQueenPodcastStudio.com today.